Now let's turn again then to the Paul's Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 11, and the 7th verse. Paul's Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. When we read of cases like Noah and other great men, Moses, where the Lord gave them great and wonderful tokens and proofs of his person and being, we too may feel that unless we have similar great evidences, we know nothing of this God. And how Satan so often brings the very scriptures and these portions to our mind to confuse us, and especially those who are seeking their way toward the Lord, to overthrow their faith. And to say, well, of course, if you knew anything at all of in faith, you too would be able to do things so much easier than you do at present. One said, in similar words, could I love the Lord? If those that never heard his name couldn't possibly feel the same as what they do. And I believe often Satan tempts us. One of the proofs of being one of the Lord's people is this, the tempter. Because if God has given us true and living faith, well then we'd be tempted by Satan to believe he hasn't. It's a solemn thing if we believe that we have faith and it's never put to the test. There'll be times in our experience when Satan will come to us and say, where is now thy God? But now let us remember this, that Noah, although he was a favored man, although he was given every direction with regard to the building of the ark, that it took time before it was completed. And if we are the Lord's people, there be those things which will gradually be formed together, sealed by the promises of God, held together by precious faith, and it will take a lifetime experience before that faith is complete. Even the last nail that was driven into the ark, that last little piece of pitch that was put on the ark, surrounding it, was by faith, just as much as the very beginning. You see, it had to be perfect, it had to be completely finished. And so often we are inclined to come to a conclusion with regard to our faith before it's finished. We don't want to go by the results before we come to the conclusion on it. But how necessary it is to have faith, even as a grain of mustard seed. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now you see, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. We touched this morning with regard to the second coming of the Lord. But who knows? The Lord may delay much longer. What about our lives? Oh, we may say, well, of course, there's plenty of time to think about death and eternity. How many are suddenly ushered into eternity without warning? How often we hear of one or another, whether known or unknown, where they've been suddenly taken out of this life without any warning. We know that the Lord can prepare a person in a matter of seconds. The Lord's time is different to our time. But oh, to be prepared for these things. Now, not only then when we read in this chapter of the faith of Noah, we also read of the faith of Rahab. We may think, well, of course, this is rather unusual, but is it? It shows a contrast in faith, but the faith of Rahab was exactly the same faith as that which Noah had. Exactly the same that you and I possess if the Lord has given it to us. Now, it's no good to rely upon something which we've been told, something we believe, unless it's been proved. It's no good someone telling us something we believe in unless we have the proof of it. Now, there's nothing more important than our souls. And it's sad when we see those who make a profession of religion so taken up with this present life, seeking after all the enjoyment of it, and more or less making a mockery of their religion. A mockery before the world, but above all, a mockery before God. Have we ever been brought face to face before this God? Has he ever appeared to us as a living reality? Have we any doubts within our mind as to the person of God? Have we any doubts with regard to his power? Have we any doubts with regard to his word, the truth of his word? The Lord says, prove me now. Look how his ancient people proved him. We touched this morning upon Isaac. Have you thought the difference, ever realized the difference between Ishmael and Isaac? Ishmael was of the flesh. Abraham's flesh. But there was no doubt with regard to Ishmael. But when Abraham was past age, Sarah was past age, when there was that impossibility, naturally speaking, Sarah herself brought forth Isaac. So we see the son of the flesh, Ishmael, and we see the son of the spirit, Isaac, the son of promise. And if we're rightly taught, we should know something of these two. We should have Ishmael, and we should have Isaac. Our religion will not be all Isaac, and it won't be all Ishmael. There'll be that within our heart, which will go after the things of time, which is the fruit of the flesh. And then there will be those things which will seek after the fruit of the Spirit. And we find right the way through the Scriptures, from Cain and Abel, right through to Revelation, where the work of grace, the Lord's people, and the kingdom of Satan are separated. Now, God's word is a separating word. And it will separate us, if we're called by grace, from looking to our flesh. look into our good works, look into everything apart from that which is brought forth by the Spirit, by the promise of God. And God promises this: I will give them a new heart, not the old one patched up, but I will give them a new heart. Now Noah then was a man who was born of the flesh, but God implanted faith in his heart, and God spoke to him. You may say, well now, I've never had the Lord speak to me. Well, the Lord speaks to his people in various ways. Speaking is only a means of communicating. It doesn't matter how God communicates with us. He is a sovereign in this. But he speaks to his people in various ways. It may be through the death of one, the Lord will speak. He puts a concern within our heart. It may be the Lord will speak to us as we read his word. As Nathan spake to David, thou art the man, and the arrow of conviction comes within our heart. But whatever it is, whenever the Lord speaks, faith is realized within the heart to believe, and to believe that this God is speaking to us. Sometimes we may be going along quite prosperously, and we see the world around us quite happy. Our pathway is quite easy. There's no need for faith there. But the Lord, in his wisdom, brings something most unexpected, something we're not looking for. And I don't suppose for a moment that Noah realized what the Lord's way and his purpose was concerning him, but how the Lord spoke to Noah. He didn't speak to those that were lost. And therefore it's a solemn thing if we've never heard the Lord's voice speaking to us, if we've never been condemned, if we've never been warned because of the way in which we're going, if our hearts are so hard that we've turned our back and shut our ears to the warnings in God's word. But Noah took heed to what God said, and nothing would deter him from carrying that out which God had so clearly told him to do. And there are those things which God lays within the hearts of men and women, even in providence. And when we come to examine the way in which Noah built the ark, surely it was providence. There was a way of preserving life. But the wisdom of God was working continuously from the time of creation on behalf of fallen man. And here we see the way of salvation typified, not saving natural lives, but saving the soul, which is far more important than saving our lives. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I wonder how many men around us, if we were to stop and ask them if they realized they had an ever dying soul, whether they would believe it. Some might. And then if we were to ask what effect these things had upon them. Do you realize that you have an ever-dying soul? Do you realize that God's word is truth, he is coming again? And is God preparing you, as he warned you in such a way, that from your very heart there is that plea from time to time, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face? thy spirit must the work before, for it is all of grace. To have some clear knowledge that God is our God is indeed the greatest blessing you and I can ever have upon this earth. It's all very well to sing Sovereign Ruler of the Sky, ever gracious, ever wise. Have we ever known what it is to sing it from our hearts when we've been surrounded by death? When the Lord has spoken within our heart, plagues of death around us fly. Till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit. And as the Lord, by faith, reveals the gospel to his people. You see, we read in that chapter, those chapters in Genesis, that repented the Lord that he'd made man. Well, that word repent doesn't mean the same as we would perhaps understand it. What it means is this, that God changed the course of events. Whenever we read of God repenting in Scripture, it means that he changed the course of events, which he'd already planned in eternity to do, to change those courses. Do you know what it is for God to change the heart, renew the will, and turn your feet, design, skill? Blessed soul you are, because God is preparing an ark for you. That ark is already prepared, but how he's preparing you to enter into it. Now the way of the gospel is this, and so few lose sight of it. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now our nature is such that we are tempted to believe that God would never look upon sinners. Well, that's the very purpose he came upon this earth. Noah was a sinner the same as you and I. We said this morning, all the human race are equal with regard to sinners. The only difference is this, that some are saved by free and sovereign grace and some are not. Is it a concern to us as to whether we are saved? And what evidence have we? Have we the proof that God has spoken to us and warned us so that we have been brought to seek salvation? And then have we the proof within our heart that this God is our God? Because in the great and awful day when the Lord will come to judge the quick and the dead, we shall want proof. It will be no good saying in that day, Lord, Lord, we cast devils out in thy name. We've done this, we've done the other in thy name. We want the proof. And the proof is this, to come with the Lord and say, Lord, I read in thy word that the gospel was for sinners such as me. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, if the Lord has warned us, there'll be that repentance within our heart. Not a repentance because we've been found out, but a repenting, a change of course, a seeking after the things of God. Have we ever received any encouragement, any enjoyment from God's word? Have we been brought to a place where we can say that we love the Lord because of those things which he's revealed to us and because of that hope that we have in his mercy? Have we been brought to realize that the Lord has spoken to us through his word. And we know it was the Lord because of the effect it had upon us. We can be in a crowd, a large gathering, and we can hear a voice. And out of the multitude of voices that may be around us, that particular voice we know is someone that we love. Maybe someone that we haven't seen for a long while, but we know the voice. And immediately, our attention is drawn to that voice. Now, how much more so spiritually? My sheep hear my voice. Noah was one of the sheep of Christ's fold. And when the Lord speaks to his people, they know it beyond all doubt. They have faith to believe it. They believe they are sinners. They believe that there's only one who is able to save them. It's strange when one is brought under conviction of sin. And when the Lord warns them, how the gospel is not revealed to them. But like the building of the ark, it is a gradual process. And how that soul under conviction of sin is condemned under the law, realizing that the law of God must be fulfilled in its entirety. As they are brought to realize that they have broken the law of God. And then for the scriptures, the gospel to be opened up. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, he not only came upon this earth to suffer for the sins of the church of God, but he came to walk upon this earth in our place and in our stead. Never once can we point to the Lord Jesus and say that he made a mistake as he walked upon the earth. Never did he sin. Never did he do any evil. Now, to be in the ark in Noah's time was a place of safety. Although the rain and the deluge came upon the earth, although death surrounded that ark, all that were within were saved. And so it is virtually. All those who are in Christ are saved. There is safety in Christ. We remember visiting an old gentleman who'd lost his wife and he was in deep sorrow. His family didn't want him. They'd turned him out of his home, pushed him into a nursing home. And he was in a little room with hardly any comfort, more like a prison cell than anything else. And as we went to visit him, we'd never heard him say anything spiritually before. But he said this: there's safety in Christ. You see, his loved ones, who he looked to perhaps, who would look after him in his old age, they failed him. His wife, who he perhaps looked to as being one who would ever be with him, had now been taken. He was left on his own. The Lord spoke to him through those things to show him there was only one safe place. Has the Lord spoken to you? Has the Lord shown you that whatever may take place upon this earth, when this earth is eventually consumed, a man is preparing for God's work at this very time. As Noah prepared an ark, so I believe that man, with all these terrible weapons that he's producing throughout the whole of the world, is preparing for the end of all time. How will it be with you? How will it be with me? We never know from time to time when this will take place.
In ancient times, one would have thought it was impossible for the earth to melt with fervent heat. We see today it's not possible. It's not impossible. We can see it with our very eyes what has taken place. We can see what will take place. We know not the way in which God may bring this about, but we do know it's possible. But how do we know that it is possible, apart from those very things that we can see? By God's word. How do we stand in that great, that solemn day? Will we be able to say to the Lord, Lord, we've done this, Lord, we've done that? Or shall we be able to say, Lord, you have done this, you spoke to me, you warned me. It was under the influence of your care, your loving kindness toward me, that you spoke to me. And if the Lord does speak to you, you'll know that's fine. Noah knew exactly where the Lord spoke to him. Moses knew where the Lord spoke to him. That burning bush would ever be in his mind. You and I perhaps can go back to a place many years ago where the Lord spoke to us. Will the Lord be able to say in that great and solemn day that he never knew us? By faith, Abraham, and by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How was the world condemned? Because they couldn't believe. They were condemned by their unbelief. They looked upon Noah as being ignorant and foolish, one who perhaps, whose mind was affected. And to the natural mind, these things are foolish. When we come to consider, as we read in this chapter, where Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, it was by faith, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What would be your choice? What would you rather do? Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or choose the afflictions of the people of God? Those of us who are approaching that 70, how we look back upon our lives, and when we sat in the pew as a child or as a young man, it seems no time ago. We spend our lives as a tale is told, and the sufferings of the Lord's people, however painful they may be, they're very blessed. And they're very short. I can speak from experience. And I say to you, young friends, tonight, that my most happy days have been those days when I've been passing through times of great trouble, suffering and pain. Because the Lord has spoken to me. And I can testify to you that if the Lord speaks to you, if you're in times of trouble, suffering, affliction, bereavement, these are the very times that the Lord draws near to his people and speaks to them. And when you're brought to see others in similar circumstances, they have no time for God. By their very actions, they're condemned. And perhaps as you try to speak to them, they don't want to hear. They're not interested. But are you interested in these things? Has the Lord revealed himself to you Has he made himself precious to you, although perhaps you can't claim him personally, but you can see something in him which is precious to you, and you say, if only you could find him, oh that I knew where I might find him. Who's put that desire in your heart? Surely the Lord has already spoken to you. He's given you faith to believe in him and give you a desire to find him, to know him. And then to be brought to those very depths, the Lord will be here. Now when the Lord then spoke to Noah, he prepared this ark. Have you ever thought what he must have felt like when the Lord shut him in? And when the rains descended, when that ark was lifted above the earth, heavenward, when there was death all around him, he was safe in that ark. Have you ever thought of that time when you will eventually have to part with the things of time? When you'll have to enter eternity. Have you any proof that God has spoken to you? If so, you're a famous soul. You say, but I can't get what I want. If only I knew the Lord was mine. We were speaking to an aged woman in much affliction, much bodily affliction recently. She said, if only I could say, the Lord is mine, that's all my heart desires. You know a better place to be. Can you truthfully say that's all you want to know? The Lord is yours. Well, he is yours. Otherwise you wouldn't have that fervent desire within your heart. You say, well, how do you know the Lord is mine? Because his word is true, and his word says he satisfies the desire of every living soul, every living thing. And if the Lord has put that desire within your heart, and if that is your desire, well then he's put it there, and therefore you have a living soul who seeks after living things, eternal things. And so as Noah was not concerned with those who perhaps ridiculed him, those who thought perhaps that he was acting under some influence that they couldn't understand, and yet they didn't want to understand, he carried on. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, bid you undismayed go on, whatever may be your pathway, whatever may be before you, eternity is definite, and oh, to be prepared for it. And then when the Lord does appear to his people, be shut in. Now you see, Noah was shut in that ark, he came out again. But eternity is final, as far as you and I are concerned. There'll be no more going in, no more coming out. How necessary it is to be right, be shut in with the Lord, rather than be shut in with the devil. Have you realized or thought what it would be to be shut in eternally with a wicked? Some years ago, we spent several months surrounded by the ungodly day and night. No escape whatever, as we were in hospital with them. And I felt that it would be hell to me to spend an eternity with them. We had nothing in common. Not that I was any different to them. My heart was equally as bad. but I had no union, no communion with them. I didn't find any comfort, any pleasure in their company. Would you like to spend an eternity with murderers or mumblers, thieves, robbers, those wretches that we read about and see, spend an eternity with them? Would you choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God? You see, by faith, Noah was warned of God that those things not seen as yet. For may we be able to see the ways of God. May that prayer be within our heart, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And then to be brought to realize the mercy and the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. To be given that faith to believe that the Lord does hear, that he does answer prayer. Now, one of the proofs of being the Lord's people is secret prayer. People will make a lot of going to a prayer meeting. Others make very little of it. I say, well, of course, it's only a prayer meeting. Others would say, well, of course, I'm not going to miss a prayer meeting. But what is prayer? We talk a lot about prayer, but what is it? It's one of the most solemn parts of the services of the Lord's house. It is where we profess to speak to God personally, where we lay before him our needs and those things that we desire from him. And yet, how seldom do we ask the Lord for those things which are so necessary for eternity? How seldom do we come with a feeling heart, with that faith within? How seldom do we come saying, Lord, stir up this heart of mine. Lord, draw my heart from earth away and make it only know thy call. Speak to my own inmost soul and say, I am thy Saviour, Lord, thy all. To reflect upon the ways in which the Lord has in times past favored us. To have our hearts go out to him. But now, what do we know of secret prayer? Not to stand up and be seen and heard of men, but to have secret prayer to the Lord. To have to go and shut ourselves away because of our circumstances. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, appear for me. Lord, help. Has the Lord given you faith to believe that he can help you? Have you known what it is to go to the Lord? To have something of this faith within your heart? Because they that go to the Lord in faith, believing that he is, he must, according to his word, hear their poor petitions. How confirmed it is when the Lord hears our prayers. And when, beyond all doubt, we know that there is a God by those things that he's done for us. I could give you, time will not permit, I could give you many things. And I feel perhaps the ministers, as they go forth in the name of the Lord, should speak a little of their experiences, the proofs that they have. From time to time. Is it because so many today have no experience? Because they do not know the things of God by experience? They that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another, and they testified of the things which the Lord had done. How encouraging it is to the young and the rising generation to hear those who have been long in the way of speaking of those things which the Lord has done. Now in this chapter, there is much which the Lord has done for his people, various ways, all different cases. And therefore there is no set way in which the Lord has got to appear to you, but he will appear to you if you are one of his people. And he will appear in this way, by warning you. And then he will build up your faith. There'll be a gradual process, as there was the building of the ark, until you're ready to enter into that ark of Christ. And who knows, the way things are going now, martyrdom, persecution, those things could come so rapidly upon this favored land of ours. Do we know what it is to have that faith where God has given you such a reality of his power, what he can do, where you can leave everything in his hands? Where you can say, Lord, I commit my cause to thy hand. Now we cannot expect to have dying grace till our dying hour. Neither can we expect to have a God-given faith until the Lord sees fit to bring us into some dispensation, into some need of it. You see, God, he doesn't give these precious gifts away unless there's an absolute need for them. But his people have needs. And the Lord supplies their needs. How the psalmist was able to say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now you see, don't let us judge our religion on the 11th of Hebrews. Don't let us judge it on the experiences of others. Let us judge it on God's word. As we read his word, to come to the Lord and say, Lord, thou hast said. The gospel is for such as me. Lord, thy word declares that all power is given unto thee, both in heaven and in earth. Well, may that power be manifested on my behalf. By faith now being born of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I believe that where one is able to walk worthy of the profession they made, that others are condemned. They're condemned in their spirit. They realize within their heart that they do not possess those things which they see in others. What a mercy if the Lord uses us so that others may be condemned, be warned, that they might seek salvation through the Lord Jesus. And then to be brought to see that with him there is forgiveness. Whatever our sins may be, to go to him in faith, believing that he is able to forgive all our sins. And also to take away even the feeling of guilt. Be brought under condemnation. And then to understand, as we read in the Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, in that eternal ark, where alone there is safety, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There is a complete righteousness in the Lord Jesus. And if we are in him, well then we should be heirs with him, heirs with Noah of that righteousness. There is no other righteousness, because the law demands a complete righteousness. And it can only be found in Christ. Well, may we then be led by the Spirit into the things of God in such a way that we may obtain that righteousness and at last be safely landed in that eternal world of bliss. We must leave it. May the Lord have his blessing. Amen.